to remind parents that we are in the middle of our camp registration, so please make sure you stop by the table and get that squared away. That's both for teen camp and junior camp. John chapter 12 this morning. Although the bulletin is good, it is not my message. Starting in verse 1. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying it hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this passage. Lord, thank you for all that is happening today. And Lord, God, our desire is to worship and please you through song, through giving, through our life, everything. We want to honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to touch hearts again, that your presence would be here today. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd go person by person and, Lord, you'd touch us each as individuals. Lord, speak to us, Lord. We need to hear from you. Lord, we do love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, I think you read that last week. No, it's the same characters as last week. Last week, we studied John chapter 11, and we saw Mary and Martha, and they had Lazarus. Lazarus was in a lot worse place last week. Lazarus was sick. We're told that this is the same Lazarus, lest there be any confusion. This is the same Lazarus who last week was dead. But now he's sitting at the table having dinner with him. Can you imagine that? There's a crowd at the house, as you can imagine. By the end of the chapter, our focus is not going to be Lazarus this week. That was last week. But by the end of this passage in verse 11, because that by reason of him, that's Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Isn't that good? I would dare say a person being dead 4 days and then brought back to life, that's a good sign. I mean, like, that's going to take away a lot of the skepticism about Christ. When he's talking about dying, when he's explaining the experience. I wonder if it got old. You know, like, some of our guys that tell stories about hunting. You know, the initial time you hear it is usually the most accurate. But by the fifth or sixth time, the story has inflated somewhat. But you can't really inflate the story of Lazarus. It can't get any better than being dead and then being brought back to life. I bet that story didn't get old. Oh, Lazarus, there's another group here. They want to hear about it again. Sure, I'll tell them. And the Bible says that many believed because of what happened to Lazarus. But our focus is not going to be Lazarus this morning. No, we're still in the town of Bethany. A town just about a mile and a half, less than 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, just like it was last week. And what's going on now is Lazarus, yes, has been raised from the dead, and the Pharisees are seeking to kill Jesus. Why? Because he's cutting in on what they're doing. He was in defiance to the law. But the truth was, he fulfilled the law. And so they're making plans to try and capture him. Well, here we are, sitting at the table. This is the last Passover that Christ will have. And as we read this passage, it's a familiar maybe passage to us. If we looked in Matthew chapter 26, it gives us more information. We won't turn there. We'll mainly stay here for a bunch of it. But in Matthew chapter 26, the similar story is told, the similar account. But it says that not only did Mary come with the ointment, but the Bible says that it was in an alabaster box. I asked Brother Bauman if he could put a picture of an alabaster container on the front of the bulletin so we can get a picture of it. It's on there. That's what alabaster is. Alabaster is like a gypsum, but it's kind of like a marble, if you will. A container, very costly. I looked it up. If I went to Amazon and wanted to buy an alabaster box, it ranges. They had some like alabaster for $14, but true alabaster is anywhere from $750 to $400 just for the box. Not to mention the cost of the ointment, and we'll talk about that. But I think it's interesting. So we have Mary. We're very familiar with Mary. And we're very familiar with Lazarus. And Martha. Poor Martha. Man, every time we see Martha, right? This is the third time we're told about Martha. And what is she doing again? Martha, in John chapter 12 and verse 2, there were they that made him a supper. Now, this time they're not in Mary and Martha in Lazarus' house. They're actually in... To what I see, it could possibly be Judas's house. And what is Martha doing? She's serving. Every time we see Martha, 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 thou art cumbered about, right? You're caught up with serving. And so many times we compare Martha to Mary, and we're going to see it again today. Mary's all about the worship. And Martha's very caught up with the details. But there is a benefit of being caught up with some details in serving Jesus. Can I say that? So let's not be careful to give her that bad of a name. But honestly, this is who she was. Every time we see her, this is what she's doing. She's serving others. And we can't be so upset about that. Is there something better that could have been done? Well, a couple times we see Mary kind of take it up a step, right? But certainly Martha's doing good things. Serving. That alabaster, yes, again, it is the best material to preserve ointments. Why? Because it doesn't absorb it. If I put oil inside of a wooden box, you know what would happen to that wooden box? It would absorb the oil. That's what would happen. But they would make it out of the stone, and it would not do that. The ointment that's in it, as we look at John chapter 12 and verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Spikenard's not necessarily something that we are too familiar with, mainly because it's grown simply in China, India, and Nepal. That's where it's rooted in. It's a pretty flower. It's a purple flower, and they would take the oils out of it. It would be the equivalent of our essential oils today, right? The purpose of it is not really medicinal, although they said, you know, the smell of it, much like lavender, would make you relax and sleepy and all that kind of stuff. But who knows? I don't know. Essential oils or whatever. I guess smells can affect you, right? Certainly. Bacon makes us hungry, right? Chocolate chip cookies make us smile. Dirty diapers. And spikenard. There we are. So spikenard is very much like, a lavender or something. Its odor was fragrant, very, very lovely smell. But this is, as the scripture describes, quite costly. I think it even says very costly. The Bible tells us how much it cost. I don't see that part. Judas scolds Mary. He's like, you wasted the ointment. We could have sold it and got 300 pence worth? Well, if I look back in the scriptures, say, what is 300 pence? What is the equivalent of that? You would think, oh, 300 pennies. Oh, no. A day's wage was a pence. So if we figure it like that, that's 300 days' wages. That's almost an annual income. I don't know about you, but I don't think many of you work 300 days. That's a busy year. Yeah. It is possible because there are 365 days in the year. But 300 pence, still about a year's worth. So you can imagine the value of this. Could you imagine taking a year's worth of pay and going to buy something? That's ointment? Or the smell of prettiness? Say, why would anybody do such a thing? Why would a woman spend a year's worth of... Imagine how much time it would take to save up for something like that. It would take a long time. Why would you spend? You know, in the Song of Solomon... No, in the Song of Solomon, Spikenard is mentioned twice, and it's attributed to the kings. The king uses it. Why? Because of the value. So what is this woman doing with this? I don't know. It doesn't tell us, but I can imagine. It would be the equivalent of a savings account. Hey, if you run into trouble, I got this stuff. Maybe she would buy a bit by bit and just keep adding a little bit and a little bit into this alabaster container. Maybe she was going to use it as be when she became a wife. Maybe she was just saving it for some sort of rainy day and, hey, when things were tough. But what does she do? Well, we're going to see what she did with it. So I have to ask ourselves the question, although I don't have an alabaster box with spikenard in it at my house. I don't know, I don't think any of us probably do. But there is something of most value to us. There's something in your life that is of the utmost value. Something that you've invested in and it's cost a lot and it's very, as the scriptures would say, precious to you. So what's really important to you? If I ask you the question, what is Jesus worth to you? 10%. That's what he's worth to me. He's worth 10%. I give 10%. Today's our Give It All Sunday. And we're asking that you give 1 week's worth of pay. How about Mary? Mary gave on one day her annual income. We're going to study out Mary this morning. But let me ask you, what is Jesus worth to you? Not the money. See, this was worth a fortune. This was of something of great value, of the most precious possession. But we have things in our life that are of, that we would consider our fortune. Say, I don't got two nickels to rub together. But there's something. There's something in your life that is of most value. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's you. Maybe the thing that you invested the most amount in and that you have put every effort and that you have protected and considered the most precious and the most valuable thing in your whole entire life isn't somebody else or another thing, but maybe it's you. Maybe you are the alabaster box today. Maybe it is an item, but maybe it's your will. Hold here, look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know what? You know what I know about Mary? I don't know how tall she was. I don't know what color hair she had. I don't know if she was thin or not thin. I don't know if she was good at sports. I don't know if she could cook well. I would assume Martha was the better cook, just by the amount of frequency and practice. But I do know this about Mary. She loved Jesus. So how do you know that? Because what she spent on him, what she gave to him, the fortune that she exchanged for him. So I ask myself again, what is it that I have that is of utmost value? If I were to walk into Simon the leper's house, or Judas Iscariot's house that day, if I walked in and I were to bring my most valuable possession to Christ, what would I have brought? What is in my life that's the alabaster box filled with spikenard? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's an item. We're each different. We each hold value to different things. I bet, thought of this when I was reading this passage. Again, they go so hand in hand with John chapter 12 goes so hand in hand with John chapter 11. Amazing. It's like they were written very closely together. I bet Mary and Martha saw life a little bit differently after Lazarus is sitting, they're looking at him sitting at the table. I wonder if things that were no longer important all of a sudden became important. This is not the first time Jesus spent time with Mary. This is not the first time that Jesus spent time with Martha and Lazarus. Why now did she do this? Why not the other times that he was there? Why not after he called Lazarus out, does she not go get the spikenard and break it out? Because I think she had a change of view. I think she thought a little more eternally, a little more spiritually, that this life just doesn't mean as much as I thought. Oh, if we could get a hold of that. Oh, that if we could get a hold of that it's not all about today. There's something more to come. And that's what Mary got a hold of. She got a hold of a worship of Christ that changed her view. And she put it into practice. So many times we get that view, but we fail to put it into practice. What are we going to do with it? Well, I'll tell you what Mary did. Go back to John chapter... You should be in John chapter 12. In Matthew, it says that she takes the alabaster box and she breaks it. For God to get whatever it is that he is so deserving of, sometimes it's going to take some brokenness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our alabaster box this morning. Yes, it is of great value or fortune. Number two, brokenness is required. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 8. For he would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That sounds awful. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There was a brokenness about these people, in which their life was so persecuted and so broken by the things that were happening. But what was in response to that, in the midst of their brokenness, what happens is that they have a trust unlike anything else. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth. What is that? That's me taking my alabaster box and breaking it at the feet of Jesus. Breaking it and anointing his head and anointing his feet. Here, here's my very best. Here's the thing that is most precious to me. And maybe it's even me. Here, God, here's my brokenness. And I break myself out before the Lord, and I just drape myself at His feet. What this was for Mary, this means there is no plan B. She just broke her security in herself. Because you know in your mind, hey, I got that much in the bank. I got a year's worth of pay. Life can bring about difficulty. I'm good. I have a year's worth of savings. And we walk around like we're in charge. And God says, give me it. Give me it because you rely on that and not on me. And I wonder if that's what clicked with Mary. If she takes the alabaster box and breaks it, because now, you know what happens? Her security is gone out of herself. She was completely dependent upon the Lord. But it took a breaking. But now, can we really, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Can I really trust in the Lord with all my heart when I know that I have plan B all set up? Can I really walk by faith when I have all of the security set up for myself? I'm not sure I can. I think we need to give it to the Lord. I think we need to give Him access to all of our most valuable possessions. And that's what Mary did. We see the fortune of it. We see the brokenness of it. Thirdly, we see the finality of it. You know what? If I gave Anastasia, I have in my pocket my phone. If I gave her my phone, you know, at about like 4 hours from now, if I go, you know, I'm not sure that was a good idea. Can I have that back? And Anastasia, being the gracious teenager that she is, she goes, yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. Here, yeah. I couldn't even unlock it anyways. Say Mary has a second thought. Say she, after breaks it out and goes, you know what? I want that back. You can't do that with the oil. It was final. Hey, when we give our will over to God, let's be careful of this, that we not take it back. She gave it all. Every drop was spent on the Lord. There was no getting back the ointment. But what did we see there that day? We saw faith. Faith. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says this. This is Paul speaking. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He goes, I'm moving forward. I'm not holding back to the securities. I'm not going to look back on the securities that I had. I'm not going to look back on my comforts that I had. I'm going to spend every single thing I have on the Lord. And that's what Mary did. She took the alabaster box and she broke it and she anoints the head and feet of Christ. She uses her hair and sweeps across His feet. Just an act of humility. An act of finality. God, I give it all up. So let's think about that for a moment. In that moment of what she would consider finality, God uses to bless her. Say, how is that? Hey, what is the purpose of that spikenard? Well, the only purpose is that it smells nice. And her worship of Him, you know what that happened? She takes her hair and she sweeps across His feet. You know what happens? She gets spikenard in her hair. You know that? So that blessing that she gave out to God, some residual came across on her. Everywhere she went. Now, you know what she smells like? She smells like Christ. She is identified with Him. The whole house smells like it, it says. But in her, what she would consider finality, it's all gone. I've given up everything. And God says, no. No, I'm going to give you a little blessing here. In her act of humility, she got a touch of God on it. So when she walks around, that stuff doesn't go away easily. Some of the boys need to Hey, if you get that stuff on your hands, we have some of that stuff at the house. Just makes it smell nice. It's oil. You get it on your hands, it's not coming off easy. I can't imagine a container, a pound. That's what it says, a pound. Some weight, some volume to it. It wasn't a drop, it was substantial. It was of great fortune, but it required brokenness. And in it, there was finality. But know what I notice about... Go back to John chapter 12. Know what I notice about her? Nowhere is she prompted by anybody else to do it. I don't see Martha or Lazarus, hey, go get the spikenard. I don't see it. Know what that tells me? She was willing. There was a willingness about her to do it. I don't see her doing it grudgingly. I don't see any mention in any of the scriptures that says that she went reluctantly. I don't see where she had second thoughts. She went, she took the very best that she had, she breaks it out on the feet and head of Jesus, and then that is it. And she did it willingly, gladly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we're going to read 12 verses here. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. What does that mean? It says that they were poor and they gave everything that they had. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were what? Willing of themselves. Pay attention to verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They gave and matched the giving with prayer. Sounds like today. I like, not that we draw attention to our prayers, but Jay prayed that the money used would further the gospel. That's what was happening here. We're giving this to you that you could succeed as a Christian. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. Know what that is? They broke themselves at the feet of Christ. Long before they ever had his money. They had them. And so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as we abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Others succeeded because of their giving. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. He goes, I'm telling you this is good for you. He goes, now go do this. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God isn't asking that we give something that we don't have. Mary didn't go and steal something to give to Christ. No, she gave what she had. What does God want? He wants what we have. He wants us. Willingly. Cheerfully. But a page across, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I don't know where it ends for Mary. But if this scripture is true, it ends well. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God takes notice. God takes notice. So what do we see here? She was willing. Man, she must have been heralded as a superhero in that room. Who couldn't have been excited? Judas wasn't excited about it. He's like, look at this woman. What does Mary say? She doesn't even say anything. She's just at the feet of Christ. She just goes. She doesn't ask anybody permission. She doesn't call attention to herself. She just does what she feels in her heart is pure and true worship to God. And Judas calls her out. He's like, look at this lady. Look what she's doing. She's wasting 300 pence worth of... We could have taken that and sold it to and fed the poor. Now, his motives were not true. The Bible brings it to our attention. It says, he was a thief. Please understand that your giving of your life to God won't necessarily be accepted by everybody. But we're not looking to be accepted by everybody. She was just looking to be accepted by one. Lazarus? No. Martha? She's trying to get the affection of her sister that she's lived in the... No. She just wanted Jesus' attention. That's it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter 2, 15. And we're almost done. 1 Peter 2, 15. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Judas had no leg to stand on. Even though he opposed what she was doing, she put to silence his foolishness by her heart and worship. Opposition is no indication whether something is right or wrong, can I say? There's always going to be people that like or dislike what you're doing. It doesn't matter. The question is, does it please God? Is God pleased with it? Is this what God wanted? Well, it was. How do you know he was pleased with it? Go to Matthew chapter 26, and this will be our last verse that we look at. But it is a very important verse. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13. This is the parallel passage to John chapter 12. Matthew chapter 26, let's look at verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Look at what he says. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Jesus says, mark it down, we're going to keep this one. And we're going to be telling this story for the next 2,000 years. I don't know if this is going to make a difference. Oh, doing right and worshiping God makes a difference. The impact of her gift continues today. We are encouraged and... corrected by her gift. I look at my life and go, I'm not sure I have that faith. I know I should, but I'm not sure I do. When God gets our all, what could he do with it? Well, he could take it and retell it and make it go further and further and further than the moment we ever intended. Do you understand the benefit of this story has affected how many? And when we looked at it originally, we thought, wow, a year's worth of pay, how costly. It is but a fraction in comparison to what it has accomplished in the hands of God. John Wesley, way back in the early 1700s, was a circuit rider preacher. He had this phrase. He says, make all you can, say, I like it. Save all you can, another good thing. Give all you can. In his lifetime, he gave over 30,000 pounds. 30,000 pounds. Say, I'm not English and I don't understand that. So, I did some math calculations. So, I converted pounds to dollars, current. 30,000 English pounds is equal to $39,000 today. I found an inflation calculator. And if you put it back from 1715 or 1730 to today, inflation on $39,000. The equivalent of $39,000 in 1730 to today is $2.2 million. That's a lot of money. How is that possible? Because he made this decision. He realized what it cost for him to live was 28 pounds. Anything over that, he gave. The first year he made 30 pounds. That means he gave 2 pounds. But the year after, he made 60. And the year after, he made 90. But he never increased his standard of living. He just increased his giving. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen. You're right. And Mary took the alabaster box and broke it because she was afraid she wasn't going to get another opportunity. She didn't know that he had 1 week left. Imagine what her life would have been every time she walked into her bedroom and saw that alabaster box sitting there, knowing, I should have given that to the Lord. I should have broken that at the feet of Jesus, but I kept it. I doubted. I needed it for security. I don't know why I kept it. Hey, you might get 30 years down your life and look at your life and go, I should have given my life to God. Hey, take today to break your will at the feet of Jesus and be spent for Him. God's blessings would result in us not raising our standard of living, but our standard of giving. Hey, when the Lord blesses, could it be possibly not for your self-pleasure and fulfillment, but for the furtherance of the gospel? Imagine if you got a raise and didn't move into the bigger house. Imagine if you got a raise and didn't buy the newest. And instead gave more. You know what would happen? You'd smell like spikenard. The blessings of God would just stick on you. Say, how do you know? Because that's what He does. I'm not saying it because I have any control of that. I'm telling you what God says. So on a day like today, be encouraged. Understand that we're doing something willingly, that God would be pleased with. My question is, what is it that's in my life that He wants? Let's all stand.